that's why I'm entering your throne. Look what it says to do, or what prayer does. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know why you should enter God's throne? Here's the first use. So the devil will run away from you. Now, if you kind of go in your little mental archives, you guys got those little folders in your head where you can like peek through your memories. Okay, kind of flip back through a couple series that we did, and we talked about this armor stuff. You guys remember the spiritual armor we talked about? Yes. We talked about a spiritual war. Yeah, you remember that? Well, who was the enemy in this war? The devil was, and what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to get you to sin. He's trying to tempt you. He's trying to do all these things to attack you spiritually so your life gets messed up. So you listen to lies and do things that are against what God says to do in your life. And as he's trying to do that, we have to fight this war. And you know what we talked about last week, this battleground? That prayer is the battleground. And so as we pray to God, we're telling God, hey, we need you as our king so we don't mess up. And we need you to help us fight the spiritual fight against Satan so he doesn't come in and lie to me and make me screw my whole life up. And so you can defend me in this war. And so if we're able to fight Satan and hold him off, it's because of prayer. And if you try to do it on your own, you're going to fail. He's going to mess you up because he's a lot bigger and a lot more powerful than you. So God says, come to me. Submit yourself to me at my feet. And when you do, I'm going to help you resist the devil so he'll flee from you and you can win this war. But the first key there is as you pray to God, you need to submit your heart to him. You need to say, God, you really are my king. Do you guys believe that tonight? Do you believe that God's your king? You can answer that one. I like to see if there's some heads out there that actually believe that. That's why you're at church. Because we should believe that if we're at church, that God really is our king. So as you go to him and pray, the first one is that you can defeat the devil by praying. So prayer is used to fight Satan. Second thing, look at Romans 10:1. Pop there real quick. Romans 10:1. If you're not there yet, it's on the screen. Check it out. It says, brothers, my heart's desire, and what? What's that next word? Prayer. My heart's desire and prayer to God. Paul actually prays this to God. For them is that they may be saved. Can you look at that verse and kind of just analyze it for a second? Think about it and tell me, what's another use of prayer that we see here in this verse? Why is Paul praying? Yeah. So people will get saved. Sometimes you guys have come to me and been like, hey, Rob, there's this person that in my family that I really want to accept Jesus. And I don't know what to do. They're not accepting. I'm not really listening. What do I do? Well, let me point you to a verse. What did Paul do?
Pray.
He prayed. Are you praying for him? Because the very first thing you should do is your heart's burden for someone who doesn't know Christ is to pray that God will save them. Pray that they'll accept Jesus Christ. And so this thing that we're calling prayer, this awesome weapon, is used so that people can get saved. How dare we go on a mission trip if we haven't begged God before we've gone that he do the work and get people saved? How dare we leave church and try to share the gospel with people in our community if we haven't begged God that he would do that? We should constantly be begging God for those people if our hearts are really broken for them. Do you have people in your life you're thinking of right now that you want to see accept Jesus? Are there people in your life that you love a whole lot, but you're not sure if you're going to be with them in heaven forever or if they're going to be in hell? And does your heart break over that? Does it hurt your heart to think, man, they're not going to be in heaven forever with me? They're going to be suffering in hell forever and I've done nothing about it. Guess what? First step, pray. Let your heart break for them and pray. Beg God that he do that work to save them, because that's what prayer is used for. Are you using it that way? Are you using it to fight Satan? Are you using it to get people saved so they hear the gospel? Okay, first two. Third one is this. James 1:5. Pop there real quick. Back to James. We're just kind of juking in and out of James here. We're going to keep doing it through all these too. James 1:5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, what? What's wisdom? Who can tell me what wisdom is?
Knowledge.
Old people? Gray hair?
Yes.
What is that? What is it? Yes, don't say. I like your shirt though, Coca-Cola, that's cool. What is it? Huh? Knowledge is kind of, it's part of it, yeah, but knowledge and wisdom are different, but it's definitely part of it. Yeah, Maddie.
Knowledge is knowing if it is a fruit, wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad.
All I heard was fruit salad. That's all I heard there. Made me hungry. Can't talk food to me while I'm... Yeah, what? Knowing right from wrong is definitely part of wisdom. Okay, knowledge is knowing things. Wisdom is being able to put it into practice. Knowing truth and being able to practice it in your life. Do you guys know truth? If you were faced with a really difficult decision in your life, would you know how to handle it? Would you know what to do? Well, guess what? If not, here's a little suggestion for you. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. All right, so you're like, Rob, I don't know. I wouldn't know what to do. Guess what I'm going to tell you to do tonight? Ask God. There it is. Who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you ask God for wisdom, he's not going to just give it to you. He's going to give it generously to you. He's going to overwhelm you with wisdom. If you're a person who's like, God, I want to know your truth. I want to be able to live my life and have these difficult things come and be able to know an answer. Be able to know what to do and how to handle this. Well, there you go. Prayer is used for that too. So if you need wisdom, you need the truth, beg God for it. And it says he'll give it to you, okay? So we defeat the devil with it. We see the save lost through it. And we get wisdom through it. Here's another one for you. James 5:16. So it's only over a couple pages real quick. James 5:16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, we've seen this one too, and we quickly went over it, but we didn't look at the prayer aspect of it. Here's the deal. What can prayer do? As you look at this here, can you figure out what's another use of prayer? What can prayer do for us?
Healing people.
In what way? What does that word restoring mean? Is that in that version?
To save them.
Wait a minute. I think they used a different version than I did, but that's okay. To heal them from their sin, right? So that as somebody's fallen away from Christ and someone isn't strong in Christ, you know what you can do? You can pray for them. Pray that God will bring them back to Jesus. Do you have any friends that you're thinking of that used to love Christ, but they're kind of like wandering off and you're scared for them? You're like, man, where are you going with your life? What are you doing? What kind of stuff are you getting involved in? What kind of people are you hanging out with that believe that kind of crazy mess over here? It's going to mess you up. You have people like that you're burdened for? You know what the Bible says to do in James? It says pray for them. Because when you pray, when a righteous person prays, it can restore these people that are falling away. It says it'll cover a multitude of sins. Pray for them. All right? So there's another use of prayer. It can restore the backsliders. Look at Jude 20. Anybody ever read anything in Jude before? Probably not, all right? We don't go there a whole lot because it's a really teeny book. Jude, it doesn't even have chapters. It just has, did I say chapter 20? Jude 20, that's verse 20 because there's just one chapter, okay? So look at Jude, verse 20. You there?
It's two pages.
It's really small, right? Verse 20 says this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. All right, now stop. I'm going to ask you guys again. What do you see there? How are we using prayer here? Yeah. Lifting each other up so that we grow in our faith. You're like, Rob, I wish I had more faith. I wish I believed more in Christ. I wish I was like more faithful in my walk with Jesus. I mean, you know what you need to do? Try to figure the whole thing out. Pray. It's that easy. This tool of prayer is so awesome because it's used for so many really, really cool things. The things that where you're like, man, I just don't know what to do from this point. I'm here and I just don't know where to go or how to get closer to Christ. I'm kind of stuck in my walk with Jesus. The answer seems to always be one thing. Have you guessed it by now?
Yes.
What is it?
Pray.
Prayer, right? Pray. You want to lift each other up? Because you know what? You're the body of Jesus Christ. And as you guys sit here tonight, as you look around this room at the people sitting next to you, you're all part of the same body, the same family, and it's your responsibility to lift these people up that are sitting around you. You know why we do fire stations? So that you can get to know each other and know the body of Christ that's around you. So as people come in with hurting hearts or family problems or things going on outside of this place, you'll be able to be the shoulder they can lean on and pray for them and lift them up and build them up so as they sit there with a broken heart, you can be that friend that says, you know what? God loves you so much. And pray this prayer over them. And so prayer is used to build up faith. There's another verse that goes with that I want to show you. It's Matthew 26:41. I'll read it to you. It says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." If you want to make that flesh stronger, that spirit stronger in Christ, you pray. Okay, so there's a deal there. Next one, Matthew 9:38. We're already in Matthew, so I'm just going to scoot you over a little bit. Matthew 9:38 says this, "Therefore, I bet you can't guess the next word.
Pray.
Pray." Are you seeing a pattern here, all right? Pray earnestly. Who knows what the word earnestly means? Have you ever seen Ernest Goes to Camp? Anybody ever like see the Ernest movies? Yeah, some of you have. They're awesome. All right, they're really, really funny. I'll let you look it up. You can Google it later because you'll love Ernest. But that's not what this is. Does anyone know what earnestly means?
A lot.
Kind of.
Yeah, I totally guessed.
Okay, good. Because that wasn't right. Just kidding. It's kind of a lot. Anybody know? Yeah.
Genuinely?
Yeah. And like passionately. So you need to earnestly, genuinely, I lost the verse, pray to the Lord of the harvest to do what? To send out laborers into the harvest. Wait a minute, we're farmers now? What's going on, Rob? What do you want us to pray for? Corn? Like, what do you think, Mr. Talby? What does this mean? What are we praying for here? Who are these laborers getting sent into a harvest? What is that? No idea?
Laborers are us, and the harvest is people who aren't Christians.
Yeah. So like you said, like ministers or missionaries, just all of us, what we're called to do as we go tell people about Jesus Christ. So you're like, well, hey, there's a lot of people out there that need Jesus. We just went to Devereaux. Any of you guys know what Devereaux is?
Yes.
Some of you are in Jube and you know. Jubilation goes to this home called Devereaux. That's for kids that just have a lot of needs. And they're trying to get by and get some rehabilitation in their life. And so they live there and they get a lot of problems. They get a lot of things going on in their life that's really difficult. And so as we went to Devereaux, and I'll tell you what, there were so many kids coming up to us. Just ready to hear the gospel. And things that most of us probably in this room, some of us might be able to relate, but a lot of us probably couldn't. Things that were just so, so bad. Like I can't even go home because I've been beat by my parents since I was 2 years old. I can't go home. Can you guys imagine that? Like some might be able to relate in this room. I don't know your background. But a lot of us probably couldn't relate to that. You got good homes and good families. I've been addicted to drugs since I was 10. That's what one kid told me. 10 years old. Like, they have some crazy stories, guys, and some really big things going on in their lives. And they're ready for the gospel. And there's a world out there that's in that same boat, ready for the gospel, because they need to hear about Jesus and have hope that you have. And a lot of us probably just kind of don't even really, we're not that thankful for it. We don't see it, you know? And they're ready. So here's the deal. We need people to go tell them. So when you look around and you're like, right, kind of right now, I feel a little overwhelmed. I'm like, Devereaux's a big place. How are we going to get to all those kids? You know what? We need people like the Jube guys that are going over with us and girls that are over there loving on these people. We need God to call more people that say, hey, there's a world out there ready for the gospel. What are you doing? Spending all your day long playing basketball? That's all you do? When there's people dying and going to hell? You spend all your time sitting on a couch playing Xbox? I hope that stuff's going to last eternity, because if not, you're wasting your whole life. I hope you're spending some time actually doing something that's going to last forever. Time to give up some of that junk and start doing things that are investing in forever, in souls, because we need some laborers on the field to bring the gospel to people that are going to die and burn in hell forever. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? And yeah, I'm telling you that in junior high, because there's junior high kids in your schools that I can't get to talk to. Only you can. You're sitting by them every single day. They need you to be a laborer. They need you to love them enough to share the gospel with them. And so when we're looking around, we're like, who's going to help us do this thing? We pray. We pray that God will convict hearts and say, I'm sending some more troops with you. Here you go. They're going to help you get this harvest, because there's a lot of people that need the gospel. We pray. It tends to be the answer for everything. It kind of is always the right answer. All right, so the next one. There's only a couple more. The next one's this. James 5:15. Back to James again. This is like a James drill. All right, James 5:15. Half of you like gave up. You're like, I'm not turning anymore. Just look at the screens. It's okay. James 5:15 says, and the prayer of faith, there's that word prayer again, will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Okay, so we saw it restores people who are in sin. What does it do now? What? Raise who up? If they're sick. People in our lives who are sick and facing some really difficult health problems and things like that, you know what we can do? We can go to God and beg God that he'd heal them. I get personal examples in my own family where I prayed in an impossible situation and God healed. Happy, you got some stories too that you could talk about. We've got people in this room who can attest to the truth of this, that we looked at people that we love so much in our families and thought, there's no way they're going to make it. And you know what? God heard prayer. And he heard it so powerfully that he said, I'm going to work, and he healed. Prayer works. And if you have someone in your life like this, you can pray. It doesn't mean God's going to heal them. It doesn't guarantee anything. But it's what we're told to do. And guess what? Sometimes God just says, you know what? I'm going to show off right now. I was talking to Mr. Roy today. I don't know if you guys know Mr. Roy, Miss Denise's husband. And he was telling me, sometimes God loves to just show off. As we pray and we have a prayer of faith, God will just blow your mind with the way he answers you. And I'll tell you what, he's done that to me. I know he did that for Happy and probably many more of you in this room. So go to him in prayer. The last one's this. Are you ready? Because I'm going to test you on this. I hope you've been writing these down or memorizing them. Have you?
Yes.
All right, I'm testing you later. Okay, you're going to say them backwards and upside down. All right, Mark 11. Mark 11 is the last one. Verses 23 and 24. This is my favorite one. Okay, this kind of sums all of them up. Here we go. Mark 11, 23 and 24 says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, should be pointing up, not mountain. Mountain, right? Be taken up and thrown into the sea. How many of you guys have picked up a mountain and tossed it in the ocean before? A few of you. Well, I can tell. You got some biceps. That's cool. Liars! You're all liars. We need to pray for you that God takes you out of your lying sin. Okay, no. None of us have. That's huge. A whole mountain, all right? Take it up and throw it in the sea. Look what it says. And doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done. Whoo, those are big words. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer. What does whatever mean? Just a few things? One or two things? A couple things? Every whatever, anything that you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. You got to believe it, and it will be yours. Okay, we get to stop for a second real quick because very easily we can misinterpret what he's saying here and think that I can just go around and be like, I want a Ferrari, boom. I want a new dog, boom. I want a mansion, boom. And God's just going to start plopping things in our lives. And we believe it. You're going to get it. It's a lie. You're going to hear it on TV all over the place. There's pastors on there slicking their hair back, shiny teeth telling you this. They're lies.
They don't open their Bible.
They're lies. They've never opened their Bible. Maybe just to this verse, and they misinterpret the verse. How can we look at this verse and understand what this is really saying here? How do we know that when I ask God, I'm going to receive this thing? It's going to be mine, like it says. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it'll be yours. Anybody know the key to interpreting what this means here? Any ideas? Anything from what we've studied so far up to this point? Well, we're talking about prayer. You're right. That is the right answer. But how do I pray? In what way? What type of things am I asking for?
Eternal things.
Eternal things. The things God says he wants you to ask him for. The things that he says prayer is for, is meant for. If you really believe these things, it says if you really have this heart that it's talking about in this verse, you're going to be asking for spiritual things that God is so invested in that there's no way you're ever going to get stopped. There's no way anyone's going to come and be able to put a stop to what you're asking because the God of the universe is in it and it's his will and he's going to do it. So if you go to God and you truly believe and you're asking with the right heart that we've been describing for the past couple weeks, that we're not going selfishly and we're not trying to tell God what to do, but we're going with a humble heart saying, Lord, I want your will to be done, just like Jesus said when he was in the garden. Remember that? If we go with that heart to God, there is no stopping your prayer. Because you're trusting and believing in your King. You're entering his throne and you're falling on your face and you say, God, whatever, I want more of you than anything I'm asking for. But if you'll answer these things, please do it. You're going to see some power happen in your prayers. So let's review real quick because I'm going to set you guys free in 1 second. Prayer is used for a couple things. And I'm going to see if you guys can kind of pick out a few of these. Name me at least one of the things we talked about tonight that prayer is used for. One. Getting people saved, yep. That's one. Getting people who are sick healed. DJ?
Wisdom.
Can't hear you.
Wisdom.
Wisdom? Yep. What else? Caitlin?
People to spread the word.
For people to spread the word? Yeah.
More laborers.
Yep. Kind of same thing, but yes, you're right. You just use different words, but same thing. For the sick, right? For people who are backsliding. And to fight the devil. And finally, to accomplish the impossible. What we're seeing here. When you're faced with something that's absolutely impossible, you can pray to God. You know why God can do it? Because he's bigger than everything. There's nothing impossible for him. So if you try to do it, you're going to be like, almost everything's impossible for me. I'll probably not get this done. But if you ask the one who can do anything, oh, now your chances have just changed. Because he's big enough to accomplish anything. So you ask God, right? All right, here's the deal. Some of us look at prayer and we're like, we get the total wrong view. We totally get the wrong view. And when things happen in our lives that aren't necessarily things we want to happen to us, we get mad and frustrated. And instead of praying, we're like, oh, God doesn't care about me. When really, he just wants you to turn to prayer. Miss Holly told me a story, and I'm going to try to quote her as accurately as possible, but you may have to ask her later if you see her and make sure I told it right. But she was in, when she was younger, she went to a Catholic school, okay? And she was sitting in her Catholic school, and her teacher's name was Sister Grace, was her name. It was a nun, you know, they wear like these things, and she was really, really strict. And so anytime they messed up, Sister Grace would come. Back then, they were allowed to hit you on the knuckles with a ruler. Yeah, times have changed, right? They could hit you on the knuckles with a ruler. They still do it to you? Don't tell me that. I can't know that. Oh, they throw. Okay, that's the same. Yeah, that's okay. As long as they're not. Okay, I'm just going to leave that one. Don't tell me that. So they could legit hit their knuckles, and they did. So she was really, really strict. They weren't allowed to do anything. Anytime they asked to do anything, she'd be like, now, sit there. So like they couldn't even go to the bathroom in class. Because she thought, like, you're just going to go out and play in the halls and break things. You can't even go to the bathroom. So this one poor little girl, she had little pigtails, you know, little pink little bows in her hair. She was just the sweetest little thing. And she was so nice, never did anything wrong. She had to go pee so bad, right? So she asked Sister Grace. She was like, Sister Grace, I need to go pee. She's like, no, sit there. You're just going to break things in the halls. She's like, no, but I really have to go pee. She's like, no, sit there. So she asked like 4 or 5 times, and Sister Grace would not let her go. Well, they're sitting there, and Holly said she was just doing her work quietly in her book, and all of a sudden, she heard a little tinkle, tinkle. And then, after a few minutes, she heard more than a tinkle, tinkle. She heard something sloshing around by her feet. And there happened to be this little boy sitting in the back aisle, back of her row, all the way at the back, and he was very kind of like, he's one of those guys who just kind of didn't care about school and was always looking around doing other things and building stuff out of paper. And you guys do that? And none of you guys are like that, right? So he had made this awesome little paper object, and so Holly looked down, and this poor little girl with her little pigtails, when Holly looked back, had just a bright pink face. She's like, what's going on? I'm hearing tinkle, tinkle in this poor little girl. And she looks down, and she sees this little stream of pee just going right down the floor. And a little paper boat. It's going down, and that's an absolutely true story. I'm not making this up. You can ask Holly. A little paper boat was just in the stream of pee. And that little boy's in the back going, he made a little boat, you know? So here's the deal. I want you to look at two perspectives here. First is the perspective of that poor little girl. You know, like, this is the most miserable day of my life. Like, I'm looking at this. And this little boy who was able to take this miserable day and make it something awesome. You know, like, this is a lot of fun. Well, here's the deal. That's just a silly story, okay? But some of us do that with our perspective on prayer. We only see the miserable side of it. You know, and we only see these things come into our life. And we're like, oh, another trial, you know, another bad thing's happening to me. God, don't you care about me? When sometimes what God's doing is using all these things as a way for us to practice prayer. You know, it kind of drives you to your knees so that as you face these big, impossible giants, you're able to fall in his throne and go, God, I really can't do this alone. You're like, we need a perspective change to say that sometimes these things are good. Sometimes these trials that you're facing in your heart that hurt so much about something is so that you'll just go to God and he can strengthen your faith because you're praying. Did you see how many uses of prayer we listed tonight?
Seven.
And there's a lot more. We just picked out a few, but we could go through scripture and find so many different uses because it's so powerful. And here's what I want you to take away tonight. Everything God wants you to do in your life, he's left it up to prayer. He's left it up to you praying so that you learn how to have more faith in him. So the most powerful thing that prayer does beyond the answers that you get, a yes or a no or whatever, is that it builds faith in your heart. Whether you're praying for the impossible or for laborers or for people to get saved or for the sick or for just God to keep Satan away from you, it builds faith in your heart as you pray. And so above everything else, it's such an awesome tool to make you a person of faith. All right? So this is what I want us to do. A band, are you back there somewhere? There they are. Band number two is going to come up, all right? Woo. Here's what I want you to do, though, because try to keep it, focus on what we're doing. Don't focus on them for one more second, okay? Because this is kind of serious. I want you guys to get in your groups, your fire stations, and I want you to actually practice this thing. I think it's kind of time for us to put our money where our mouth is. We've been talking a whole lot about prayer. You've been answering lots of questions about prayer. I want us to do it. I don't want us to get around and just talk and have a little chat time, finding out how our weeks were. What I want us to do is get in it and just start telling God that we love him so much. Start praying for some of these things we listed. If there's people in your life that don't know Jesus, pray for it. If there's someone sick in your life, pray for them. If there's someone, it's just a situation that seems impossible, pray for it. And use this time to actually practice building your faith in whatever trials you're facing right now, okay? So go ahead, you can come up here and you're going to worship and then break up in your groups. And you can just start praying away. Stay up here tonight.